Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by UC Santa Cruz, chosen by the National Cancer Institute to launch the Cancer Genomics Hub in the quest to decode cancer. More information available at ucsc.edu.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Unless Congress acts by March 1st, a series of automatic cuts will kick in across the country. In an effort to remind congressional Republicans and the rest of us the focus of so much political chatter is rolling around the bend for real now, the White House has released details of how the sequester will play out in each state. California will lose roughly $88 million in K-12 funding, approximately $2.5 million to help the state respond to public health threats, $54 million for military bases, and about 64,000 civilian Defense Department employees would be furloughed. That's a small sample from the list. We've posted a link to the White House release. You can look at it yourself by heading to our website, californiareport.org. And then we'd be curious for your take on the threat of the sequester. You can email us at calreport@kqed.org or post your comments online at our Facebook page. This afternoon in Sacramento, the Assembly's Committee on Public Safety will take up special security units in the state's prison system, the focus of widespread hunger strikes in 2011. Civil rights groups are suing the state for what they say is cruel and inhumane punishment, but prison officials are expected to testify they've made significant changes. Michael Montgomery visited Pelican Bay State Prison to see for himself and report back.
For nearly 15 years, inmate Jeremy Beasley's daily life has been simple and stark. 22 and a half hours locked alone in a windowless cell the size of a small bathroom. For about 90 minutes, he's moved into what's known as the exercise yard. Except, it's not a yard at all. It's a concrete pen with 30-foot walls. And like his cell, there are no windows. We recorded those muffled sounds through a narrow slot in the steel door that seals off the exercise area and Beasley. He's a burly man with a short-cut beard and is bouncing a rubber handball as he walks in small circles.
I've seen guys lose their minds back here. I've seen guys change.
We later sat down with Beasley. Like all inmates here, he's put in shackles and closely guarded whenever he's outside his cell and in the presence of another person.
I became angry. I became bitter. I haven't had human contact with anybody without being in chains since 2004. The conditions back here are horrible. You don't get no sunlight. The only exercise is a walk on the yard, which I don't know if you've seen the yard yet. And now we get a stupid handball to throw around at the wall.
Beasley is serving a 30-year sentence for murder. He was sent to the isolation unit after being linked to a prison gang through a controversial policy that uses drawings, photographs, and tattoos as pieces of evidence. Until recently, inmates had to renounce the gangs, or snitch, to get out of this facility, which is known as the Security Housing Unit, or SHU. Critics say this practice has left hundreds of prisoners stuck here for more than a decade. But corrections officials say they've embarked on a new plan that is improving conditions and will move some inmates out of these units more quickly.
Change is afoot.
Pelican Bay Warden Greg Lewis says one symbol of change, those rubber balls in the exercise pens. If inmates stay out of trouble, they can also get wall calendars, art supplies, and sweats, and one phone call a year, all things denied to men here prior to the 2011 hunger strike. More importantly, says Lewis, the department is reviewing the case of every inmate for possible transfer, and there's a step-down program that will allow other inmates to work their way out without snitching.
We identified a 4-year timeline for the entire step-down process if the inmate's successful and participates at each step. And we looked at that as a reasonable amount of time to give us a thorough ability to assess the inmate's behavior.
To me, it's a pebble, and we're talking about a mountain.
That's State Assemblymember Tom Amiano, who chairs the Public Safety Committee. Amiano met Warden Lewis and toured Pelican Bay earlier this month. He says while he found it was clean and professionally staffed, he's troubled to think of the long stretches of time inmates spend here locked in small cells. Amiano wants prison officials to move more quickly on reforms.
The rubber ball, I believe, to them is very important. It's a signal that they're open. I might look at it as a cosmetic thing, but I also see the drama in it, and that I empathize a little bit with why they feel, look, this is a very good first step.
Top corrections officials say they're moving at the right pace. They point to the case reviews of the 2,500 inmates in the special units that began last October. Associate Director Kelly Harrington says of the 144 reviews completed so far, 75 inmates are being transferred to regular prisons since they no longer pose a major security threat. Harrington says hundreds more reviews will be finished this year.
My sense is that we've moved a huge mountain.
Prison officials would not let us speak with the men who organized the hunger strikes, but these prisoners have denounced the new policies and are threatening another protest this summer. For his part, Jeremy Beasley didn't wait for the new program. To get out of the special unit, he agreed to leave the gang and provide information on other members, something that's known as debriefing.
I believe that, you know, certain people should be isolated. If they would have cut me loose before I debriefed and I went back out to the main line, I would have killed somebody or at the very least stabbed somebody else.
We managed to speak with other inmates here who have not debriefed, including Henry Albanez, a 39-year-old Latino from Southern California who's serving a 27-year sentence for kidnapping. Albanez has mixed feelings about the changes.
There was nothing at all, you know? Things are getting better. It could be worse, right?
Albanez has wild black hair knotted into a ponytail. His hands are in cuffs, which are attached to belly and ankle chains. As we talk, Albanez's eyes shift nervously side to side. He flinches if I get too close. He thinks the new program, most likely, will fail.
How do you expect to take all these guys out of the shoe and throw them in the same yard and expect them to get along? When you have all this sensory deprivation, all these guys that have been back here for many years, you just let out a bunch of pebbles out there and expect them to get along?
At today's hearing, lawmakers are focused on getting more information, not just from state officials, but from advocates and family members of the prisoners. They'll be discussing the balance between security and the rights of inmates at the state's highest security lockup. For the California Report, I'm Michael Montgomery.
Our story was co-produced by Monica Lamb in collaboration with the Center for Investigative Reporting. To see what it's like to exercise in the confines of an isolation unit, look for the link to cell cam video at our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Monday, February 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com.